the Tokyo Olympics are supposed to begin in a little over 2 months, but Japan is dealing with a fourth wave of COVID-19 infections. It's so bad, the Olympic torch relay was pulled off the streets of Hiroshima today, and the government has extended a state of emergency for Tokyo and other areas until the end of May. The pandemic already forced the postponement of the 2020 Games, and our next guest says Japan should make the same decision this year. Sally Jenkins is a sports columnist for The Washington Post. She's on Skype. And Sally, if you were a part of the Japanese delegation going to the International Olympic Committee trying to make this case, what would you say?
Well, my case would be, you know, let's give everybody, the countries, the athletes, the hosts, breathing room. It's not engraved in stone that the Olympics have to be held this year or even next year. Why don't we get a grip on this global pandemic before we start trying to hold a gargantuan festival of 15,000 people from different nations descending on one host city? That's just insanity in the midst of a pandemic that's still absolutely raging like a wildfire through many of the countries that would want to send delegations.
But isn't this about more than just the pandemic? You write in your recent column for the Washington Post that Japan didn't surrender its sovereignty when it agreed to host the Olympics, but that's what seems to happen when a host city signs a contract with the International Olympic Committee, because the demands on that host city, whether we're in a pandemic or not, are incredibly high, to say the least.
One of the things that has been more and more apparent over the last couple of Olympic cycles is that the IOC really presents onerous contract terms to the host, to the point that no cities anymore are really willing to do business with them. You know, they really only had a couple of bidders for the games that wound up in Los Angeles, and LA's mayor was able to actually drive a pretty good bargain with the IOC. The leverage now is with the host cities, because they've recognized the IOC understates the cost, understates the risk, and dumps all of the burden for financing the games on host countries and host cities, and then hoards the lion's share of revenues through licensing and media rights and so on. And so what Los Angeles did was say, well, you're going to have to pay us $300 million off the top, and you're going to have to make some significant economic concessions to us if you want Los Angeles to take on this burden. And that's an attitude that I think any prospective host country from now on should take with the IOC. For years, the IOC developed this sort of patina of power. They behave almost like a nation itself, and they're not. They're an organization of a handful of officials that live in the Palace Hotel in Lausanne, Switzerland.
So in that, are you making the case then that if Japan wanted to do something here in terms of a postponement, or, you know, even in the unlikely case of a cancellation, that in fact they have leverage to get concessions from the IOC?
Their first obligation should be to their own national interest, not to a handful of Olympic sponsor companies. That's number one. And some of the pressure driving Japan is fiscal. But my point is, where is that contract enforceable? What court would look kindly on the IOC forcing an unwilling host nation to host 15,000 international visitors in the middle of a pandemic? I mean, that would absolutely ruin the reputation of the IOC. And so Japan has more leverage than it may imagine.
What do you think the future of the Olympics really looks like at this point? You mentioned that cities have started saying no to the IOC demands, or if they say yes, like Los Angeles did, that they're getting concessions. Do you think that it could ever just be a modest production that isn't overrun with excess costs, that just focuses on the sport and the athleticism of people around the world? You know, does it have to be so extra?
I think the IOC is at a real fork in the road. They are either going to go in that direction and reform the infrastructure of the games, and also they're going to have to make more financial concessions. That's one fork that they can take. Or the other fork that they can take is the one they are currently on, which is to increasingly just go to countries ruled by strongmen, where, for instance, you know, Xi Jinping in China can spend limitlessly for his own prestige and can use forced labor to get some of these projects done. That's the other fork in the road. Increasingly, the only people that the IOC has a really good chance of you know, getting acceptance from are Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping. Is that really the direction we want the Olympic Games to go? I mean, that's the decision the IOC needs to make.
Sally Jenkins is a sports columnist for the Washington Post. We're going to link you to her column about the Olympics in Tokyo this summer at hereandnow.org. Sally, thank you very much.
Thank you.